Hey guys, thanks for tuning us in for this 46th episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests for this episode include country artists Pryor and Lee. We'll also talk with seasoned veteran country artist Ty Herndon. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and be sure and share with your friends. We're going to kick off the podcast today with one of our friends from a couple years ago and a new friend. He's an acquaintance at this point, but we've got Pryor and Lee on the line. Pryor Baird and Pryor... I totally messed that up, didn't I? Pryor Baird and Caleb Lee on the line. Pryor, Caleb, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you for having us. Absolutely. Thank you.
I usually can spit it out a little better than that, but for you guys, the new single has been out for just a little bit, and what has been the biggest challenge, especially as a new group here in 2020, the craziness that has been so far?
I think it's called
COVID.
Yeah, it's been nuts, man. It's been nuts. We're super excited and honored to be able to put out our debut single on this summer, but it's been in the midst of a crazy time, as you well know, and we're trying to make the best of it.
And when did you guys first get introduced? I mean, I know the answer, but maybe our listeners don't. Tell us, Pryor, how did you and Caleb first meet up?
I was his roommate on season 14 of The Voice.
He said that
with so much like angst in his voice. No, the only reason I said it's because like when you're like in your 30s and somebody says you have to go live in a hotel room with a complete stranger for like 6 weeks, I guarantee you're not going to be that excited about it either. But then when I met him, I said, all right, we'll be all right.
Now, how long after the show was it that you guys got reconnected and the idea of working together became even a possibility?
About a week.
Yeah.
I mean, we pretty quick, man. We sang on the show together a couple times. After the show, you know, we started booking, you know, he'd book a show and I'd come along and play and be on stage with him and vice versa. And we did that for the better part of the last 2 years. And, finally just said, you know what, we seem to be doing this more often together than not, and we have more fun together than not, so let's give this thing a shot.
And obviously the outlet for y'all some, we were all hoping as summer came back at that it would kind of open up a bit, but how special is that going to make it the first time you guys get to play at a truly open event? I mean, that's going to be the perfect song for that, right?
I'd like to think so. I mean, and especially after, you know, everybody being in quarantine for so long, and, you know, everybody wants to be some party people and go out and have a good time and kick their feet off or kick their shoes off and have a good time. And I think this is, you know, it's like a soundtrack for a good time, and we like a good time. So we're pretty excited for it to happen. We're ready for it.
Now, Caleb, when did you first get involved in music? We've heard Pryor's story before. I've never heard your story. I want to hear a little bit about where Caleb got started.
Yeah, man. Well, I started playing guitar when I was 8 years old, and I've always just loved, you know, playing and singing, and did it pretty much, you know, throughout, you know, middle school and high school and college even, and pursued music there for a while. After college, got married young. We had a baby shortly after that, and took about a 10-year hiatus from music. Focused on, you know, my marriage and my kids. Now I have three beautiful kids at home, and you know, The Voice is really what got me back into music. I've always loved it and always wanted to do it, but just kind of thought that season was over, and The Voice propelled me back into it. Met this guy and been doing it full time ever since.
And what is what's the best part that you bring out of each other? Pryor, I'm going to ask you first.
That's a good question. What's the best? I'm going to go second because I got to think about that. I will say, you know, the best part that Pryor brings out of me is just the fun I have on stage. I mean, when we're up there, I typically try to be, at least, a very detailed kind of guy and trying to think about all the things that are going on. But when I'm up on stage, and especially when he gets grooving on the guitar and looks over and smiling and having a great time, I can much more easily forget about everything else and just soak into the music and have fun. So I appreciate having him up on stage with me and allow me to let go every once in a while and have fun. Mine would be, I thought I knew what hard work was, but until I met Caleb, like 100%, without a doubt, hardest working person in the room at all times, no matter what room he's in. Even if he is in a room by himself, he's still trying to beat himself. So that's something that I've him. It's like, you know, I thought I knew what hard work was, but I don't. It's a lot deeper because he's got it going on.
Now, how have the rehearsals, the get-togethers, have those obviously taken a different look this year, right?
Yeah. What rehearsals? Yeah, right. What rehearsals? No, we've been doing a lot of, we've had an opportunity to do a lot of stuff together. Obviously like interviews like this, but you know, being able to write and work on music together, obviously haven't been doing a lot of shows. So we're excited about getting the band back in a full, you know, a full swing and, you know, working on our 21 show, for next year, booking dates as we can. But everything else has kind of been just a lot of Pryor and I, you know, spending time together, working on songs and working on where this thing's going to go.
And Pryor, for you, what's the biggest thing that you learned this year that you'd always been pushing to the back burner before?
Oh man, what's the biggest thing I've learned this year? Patience, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess patience would have to be it. I would like to think that I'm a somewhat of a patient person, but music's always been first and foremost in my life, and it's been fairly easy as playing music wise, but when this whole thing came about, it's like, let me just pull the rug out from under you and put patience right in front.
Yeah. I'm going to make you real comfortable with patience.
Yeah.
And for you, Caleb, is there something that you've really grasped onto this year that you're going to take forward?
You know, not to just regurgitate exactly what he said, but that has been the banner thing for both of us this year is patience. I mean, we signed our very first and only record deal that we've ever had. And just so excited about how the year started and a tour that we had booked this spring, you know, 30 cities across the country. And, you know, it just all kind of came to a screeching halt. And so we've just had to learn patience in a really big way this year, but we're excited about where things are going to go as things open back up and we get back to normal.
Now, how has 2020 affected your songwriting? Has the inspiration or the mood of the new rights changed?
Mr. Pryor, I don't think that the songs have actually changed because of the environment, but I will say that the quality of songs have gone up because everybody's in quarantine and they're writing and they're, you know, alone with their thoughts or they're with other people. And there's going to be some amazing music come out of this.
And Caleb, for you, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I, you know, I think there's going to be some great music that comes out of this. For us though, you know, with us being a new duo, we didn't have seasons before where we were writing together. And then all of a sudden now this is a new season we're writing in. Like this was our first season, as a duo. And so I think, you know, just pandemic or not, COVID or not, we've just been trying to write the best songs for who we believe Pryor and Lee will be and who we, you know, we want our, what the kind of music we want our fans to hear, the kind of music we want to play on stage. And, you know, I'm sure the pandemic will play into a lot of that, but we really don't know anything outside of the season we've been in. So it'll be interesting to see how things change and grow moving forward.
And what was it like the first time you had to do a Facebook Live? What was the first online performance for you as opposed to the last one you had?
I'm gonna let Caleb answer this one. inside joke. You know, man, we've gotten really, really comfortable playing in front of cameras on tripods and lights beaming down on us. With no one in the room. That's pretty much been our 2020 and with Facebook live streams or radio tours or, you know, just about anything we've done has been in front of a bunch of cameras and not in front of a bunch of people. So it's been a little stretching for us as performers wanting to get out and have fun and see people have fun. But again, I think it just builds up a lot of the excitement for when things do kick back up and we can get back to what we love to do.
And I want to talk to you prior, have you touch a little bit about, we talked to several other artists in the last couple of weeks talking about how the economic impact, especially on newer artists, I mean, what this is, what coming back out of this is going to mean for you guys.
Well, it will be really nice to see a bank account that doesn't start with a negative sign in it. Start. That'd be great. I mean, yeah, I would like to, I would like to see some money come in. That's going to be a great thing. But I'm just excited to get back out and play. That's my like most exciting thing that I'm looking forward to is being back out and just playing music.
Yeah, yeah, we've done that. We've done this for a long time, and not really, you know. And when you're beginning and you're growing your career and as an artist, you get really used to playing because you love it, not playing because you're making a ton of money. And I think that's where we still are. You know, we're doing this because we're passionate about it and we love it. And we're hopeful, we're confident that things are going to open back up and shows are going to happen and we can actually start, you know, making some money when all that stuff happens. But, you know, it really hasn't changed our mentality of, you know, we do this because we love it first.
That's right. And Pryor and Lee, Caleb, I'll let you give the socials, and then Pryor, I'll let you come back with the website and all the music information as well.
Yeah, yeah. So we love all you guys that are listening, guys and gals out there, to follow us on social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Pryor and Lee, P-R-Y-O-R and Lee. Follow us, send us a message, like some photos. We'll be posting some new songs that we've been writing up over the next few weeks and months. So stay plugged in, and we'll let you know when we can get back out and see everybody in person.
That's right. And our website is pryorandlee.com. And anywhere you get your music, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, wherever you get it, go out there, get it. Listen to all the new music that's out there, and, you know, just listen to good music, man. That's all we want you to do.
There you go. Well, Pryor and Caleb, it has been great to have the chance to visit with you. Pryor, always good to visit with you, brother. Caleb, got another new friend in the country music, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Cameron. Appreciate it, man.
Our next podcast guest, country star, and man, life, he's got awards that cover not only country, but cross genre as well. And well, you speak Christmas music too. I mean, that doesn't necessarily have a genre. We've got Ty Herndon online, and man, Ty, been a fan for many years, and it's a privilege to visit with you today, brother.
Thank you so much. It's I've gotten to visit with so many people during the pandemic, right here in the comforts of my office/studio bathroom right there. So it's just, don't have far to go, but we sure had far to fall. Our music business is a mess right now, but we're all actively working to get back out on the road. So yeah. A lot of artists don't know, have never been home this much. I'm feeling divorces coming on.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now the Christmas project, when did you first get the inclination of releasing some more Christmas music? It's been a while, right?
Well, it's a sad story with a happy ending. When this whole thing went down, we've been working constantly for the last 5 years to build for this new album this year. But the album got shelved. The 145 tour dates went away for now. Documentary and the book, all in 2022 now. So we got really derailed. And I know I wasn't the only one at all. But to me, it felt personal. And there's, you know, I've been through a lot in my life, and I'm a hard worker. And I got really angry, man. I got mentally angry. Mm-hmm. I did. And I had to seek some help to just kind of get out of that place, because it's nothing healthy is going to happen there. But I just had to circle back that this too shall pass. We shall be back out on the road. How am I going to grow from this? Because I sure as hell didn't feel like writing any songs. Brad Paisley tells me he wrote a whole album during this. I'm going to go over there and kick his tire. I don't know. It's like, it's just all too much. But I was sitting there and I was so disappointed. This album we were releasing, would be out now. And I was heartbroken about it because so much planning went into it. And I don't know if it'll make sense next year. So it's things have got to be rethought. But, I was talking to my manager. He goes, "Isn't your Christmas album 20 years old this year?" I said, "Which one?" He goes, "The 20-year-old one." I said, "Yeah, I guess it is. I guess it's 20." He goes, "Well, let's re-release it. Let's remix it. Add any bells and whistles you want to it." And I went in the studio with it. And guess what, man? It's so cool. I didn't change anything. I gave it some modern sounds. That's about it. I didn't really add anything. And it sounds fresh. But he said, let's do that. And maybe you can just record one song. Do you have anything in mind? And I've been wanting to record Orphans of God. One of my best friends was in Avalon and I loved that song for a long time. But I thought it could be, I always thought that song could have that Michael, that Josh Groban, "You Raise Me Up" moments. And I think we accomplished it. I hope we did. I feel like we did, but the idea came about. I looked at my manager and said, "Zeke, the last two albums I haven't been able to put Orphans of God on there. This is why. This need hurt now." And I know that I'm a God guy, you know, and I've been super upset with the man upstairs, and I've been a brat about it. So this is my amends to God. But whatever you worship or whatever you love out there, something bigger than yourself, you know, we've been let down in so many ways this year. And it's a year of our life, man. It's a year of our life that we can either let it kick our ass or grow from it in some way. And I've grown a lot. I didn't think I had any more growing up to do. And in the middle of all that, then I sold a house and moved out of it. And I was sick all the time. And I was like, all last year was like, why am I just going to be a miserable old sick man? And I'm sick right now, but this is something different. This is Nashville allergies. When I moved out, I found black mold in my house. So I went into the pandemic sick from that. So everybody, I said, until I found the black mold, I thought, oh, well, I must have the COVID. You know? What's wrong with me? And so I've been treated for that, and my immune system is much better now. But I'm going to have my sinus cavities completely taken out and just a singer with his allergies is crazy. But circle back around to your question, we decided to redo the Christmas album, call it Regifted, because it's in every way has been a gift to me, because I got excited that we would have something out this year. And I got excited that I got to do Orphans of God finally. And over the moon that I'd never even thought about it as a duet. And it just bam me in the head. Kristen and I were talking about doing something together. Sent her the song. She's like, yes, yes. I said, do you guess? She started telling me my thoughts and they were exactly the same. It's like, this needs to be heard, because no matter what level of hurt or betrayal, all this you felt, you're not alone. And, you know, I teach and preach that all the time, especially to the LGBTQ youth. And so it was another opportunity to put my voice where my, what am I trying to say here? I talk a lot. The power behind my talking. There we go.
You got the heart behind it. I feel you, yeah. Brother. And having friends like Kristen that you can just be like, hey, you want to throw down some vocals for me? How cool is it now that you look back at where you're at in your career that you can just reach out to Kristen and just be like, hey, why don't you throw some vocals down for me, my friend?
Well, it wasn't like that. I was like, if you don't do this, I'm going to fire your boyfriend. No. I think for a long time, especially since Kristen, she came out to a bunch of shows to see Josh, and we just all bonded and became really good friends. But she would always, she's so like this. She's so down home girl. She always got up and sang. She gets up and sings. She's very entertaining. And I never like to do that to another artist, but with her, I feel bad if I don't. So I'm just like, come on, let's play. It's a playground. And she's very, very, very busy. When I grow up, I want to be Kristen Chenoweth. She was doing, she never missed a beat. They built a home studio. She was acting. She was doing everything from home and creating these funny characters about the pandemic and just kept us all entertained. She and Leslie Jordan, we were all entertained, but they didn't want to see my anger. I stayed off. I was hiatus from all of that. But things are better. And this album and this song helped me make sense of some things. And I've always been able to just jump in there and fix a problem. And no matter what it is, if we can't get through it, we go around it. But this was different. There's no one to yell at, no one to blame, except for God. I mean, I was like, it's a funny story. I had to go have a little surgery done during all this, and it was in the middle of my anger. The emergency room nurse, when I was in recovery, she came in. She was really sweet. She said, she's a beautiful black lady, probably about in her late 50s. And she said, "Baby, I got to ask you a question." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She goes, "Is everything okay with you and God?" Well, he's probably a little mad at me right now. She probably is. Evidently, when I was coming out of into recovery, I was still letting God have it. I was just evidently I said a few inappropriate things, and she goes, "Well, as long as you're okay." I said, "Oh, I'm okay." I said, "He'll make my record go to number two." Oh no, man!
What's the biggest thing that you've learned this year? Like I said, the anger thing. I mean, I think so many of us have dealt with the anger, I spoke with a psychiatrist early on when the pandemic first hit, and one of the things he talked about and equated it to was grieving. And maybe how is that grief equated to 2020 for you?
Just dark. I mean, I've never been. My father died of alcoholism and depression when I was really young. And so I thought that had skipped me. Not the recovery part, because I've been in recovery a long time, but I thought the depression thing had, and it found its way. It did. And I've said this 10 times this week, you know, to everyone who's dealt with depression, I apologize to you that I ever thought it was just something you take a pill for, because it's not. It is the darkest cavern with no light. And it is miserable. It's uncomfortable. It is a version of yourself that you don't recognize, and there's nothing you can do about it. You have to ride it out. And I pushed and pushed and pushed, and until I found some light, and you know, and I went that direction and was able to pull out of it. But I understand it now, and it's a devastating, crippling thing. And so I'm a new spokesperson for that, and mental health for sure. But what have I learned? I've really, really learned what I'm made of again, which is stock from some great grandparents and mom and dad, and a little bit stronger than I thought I was. Because I really thought at the beginning of this, I'll just be real honest. I could not see myself going through another fight to have this career. It was like, you know, this is, come on, you know, it's not supposed to be this hard. And I found out that I'm very blessed, and I've made a lot of friends, a lot of fans, and we're hurting here in Nashville. We are. The musicians are losing their houses and their cars, and you know, they're having to move some in with their parents. My mom's like, you do have savings, right? But our foundation's been helping with that, because our unions are broke. The CMA, everybody, they've handed out all the money. And for the first time, I always tell the fans this, for the first time, we're really depending on you guys. This is it. For those online shows, if you would buy a ticket to come see my show, then buy a ticket to the online show, because it's all we got right now. And and I'm launching a 5-week series right after Thanksgiving through Christmas and New Year, and I'm actually got some of my band members coming in so they can get some money, and you know, just the foundation will pay them. And it's just so I'm encouraging all of my artist friends to just kind of do the same thing. Take care, you know, if you can do something for your band, and and their families, because it's heartbreaking, man. And this all happened right after a devastating tornado right through our neighborhood here in East Nashville. So it's been a lot, but man, I've also learned that I've been lucky in my life, but I get out there and dig ditches just like everybody else. And I'm happy I know how to do that.
And you talked about having to fight this hard for it. Have the years made it easier? Has acceptance gotten better in the music community?
Oh yeah. Yeah. As far as acceptance goes, but getting people to download a stinking song, it's gotten harder. You know, it's gotten harder to make money in this business, where, you know, it was very rewarding for a long time. And then it gets, you really depend on your fan base. And, you know, I'm one of the people from the 90s, like Terry Clark and a few other people that do things to keep relevant. They just, we do new music. We do cool things. I have the Concert for Love and Acceptance. And we just, we've grown. We've grown up. And it's gotten easier. It had gotten real easy until this happened, because it was just, because I knew what to do. I knew the new way of doing things. I was really good at it. And I don't know what it's going to look like now. So it's back to school, basically. Are we in for another year of online shows? Because the virus is growing stronger than ever. So we're told, unless they get a shot here real quick, like. So it's a lot of unknown.
there's been a lot of those. There have been a lot of those. Now, for you, I know that you're excited about the Christmas thing. Now, I actually let my wife talk me into it. She said, it's been so 2020. This last weekend on Saturday, she was like, we're getting the Christmas out of the attic. So we actually have our Christmas, other than our outside lights. We do not have outside lights yet. But are you going to do the Christmas a little earlier, or are you just going to try to keep it some sort of normalcy this year?
Well, as a family, we all decided no gifts except for the kids, of course. We're not doing, because everybody's saving their cash. Now, if we show up at my mother's without a present for her, that's a different story. We won't do that. But I'm in a new house, so you know, I want to do it up, and I've got time. But I've had so many people say to me, "Well, what's your plan B?" And I just looked at them and said, with their great jobs that they still have, and I'm like, I don't have a plan B. I've never believed in that, and I won't give into that now. I mean, it's too late for that. So, but there's been some scary moments thinking, okay, do I call my friend Mary Frances Reed, who owns the biggest tile company here, and go, hey, I'm pretty good at math. Take me in an office somewhere, you know.
How has 2020 changed your goals? I know you said that you've got some works that have been pushed out now to like 2022. Does it change your outlook on 2021, or how you set your goals moving forward?
Well, my booking agency, they're most 140 something shows got moved to next year. But now, you know, last week alone, four venues closed their doors. So my goal now in this next year is just to help keep these doors open, because these places, we have to have them to play. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, Martini's in San Diego has been there 30 years. They closed their doors. Spaghetti's in LA. It's like, man, for all of you out there who have the good job still, support your places that you go all the time. It would just take them $5. So it'll still be there. And so my goals are that, to rewrite this album and try to get it out next year. Cause there's no reason that you can't put an album out if we're touring online. So, I'm trying to plan, I'm an OCD as heck, and I try to plan for everything. And this one has got me just kind of taking a little step back. You know, let's wait and see. See what's going to happen. I know I can sleep on my mama's couch if I need to, you know, for at least two nights.
Now, what's been the hardest thing over the span of your career to get the hang of? Has it been social media? Whenever that all came around, the Zoom stuff like we're doing today. What's been the biggest challenge for you?
No, I'm a social media darling. Are you kidding? I did take a 3-month break because I couldn't deal. At first, I was going to air all my thoughts, and that's not me, man. You know, when I learn something, I'll talk about it. But I wasn't going to be doing a 14-year-old kid in Paducah, Kentucky, any favors by getting on there and showing a bunch of fear and acting like that. It's just, that's not the answer. So I needed a break. I was going to take a month. It ended up being 3, but. The hardest part for me has been recreating in the studio as a producer and a writer to keep it fresh, keep something. I listen to the musicians that play on these records. Like, what's the coolest things happening right now? You know, I don't want to repeat something that you just played on Trace Adkins' record, but you know, give me something good. And so they're great about that. So that's been a big challenge for me. I don't like change.
I understand that as well. And Ty, if folks want to learn more about the new Christmas project, where they can get that, and as dates do become available, where can folks find all that info?
Well, we've got that good old expensive website that if we don't get shows, they're probably going to take it down. Just kidding, y'all. Just kidding. Listen, the tyherndon.com, man. You can find, we've got a gorgeous website. It's lots of information. And our store, too. Our store has some cool stuff.
Well, that's good stuff. Ty, it has truly been a privilege to have the chance to visit with you, brother. And looking forward to hearing what folks... I haven't played any Christmas music on the radio yet. But whatever we do, I'm looking forward to sharing that with our listeners as well.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And Orphans of God, and you guys hear this, it's not really a Christmas song, but it's inspirational and uplifting as Christmas is. So that's a good thing.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, or anything else you'd like to know, find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. We'll be back with episode 47 coming up tomorrow.